Thank you, Willard. Thank you to you as a congregation for joining in worship of our great God. I invite you to turn to Psalm 9 for some meditation thoughts this morning. I'd like to focus on worship of our great God. I was just thinking as I was sitting here, so what is worship? We talk about it. I'm sure there's different aspects that can be brought out. Two of the things that I think of that are crucial are an acknowledgement of who God is, an acknowledgement of who we are. And maybe even more than just acknowledgement, but recognizing that God is so much greater than we are, and recognizing how finite and weak we are. I find that when I am adequate, or when I'm enough, I don't need God. It's only as I recognize that I am desperately in need of Him that I cry out to Him. And so I just invite you, as we look at Psalm 9, to think about that, to think about the ways that God is great and above all, and the ways that we are so finite. And I trust that that can lead you to worship. Psalm 9. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at Thy presence. For Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O Thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and Thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment, and He shall judge the world. In righteousness He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. When He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all Thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in Thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in Thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. As we see here in verses 1 and 2, it's an acknowledgement of God and David's attempt to praise Him. And I say attempt because one of the things I've been struck with recently is that when we praise and worship God, it is merely our attempt to do it, because He is so great and so high above us that it feels like our praise will just fall so short of what He is worthy. And yet, that should not keep us from trying, from attempting. We give Him praise with what we have. And I believe that, as other scriptures would indicate, that honors him. Verses 3 through 6, then, we see that the Lord fights our enemy for us. And it seems to me that as I look at this, that our responsibility is to remain in right relationship with him. As in verse 4, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. He looks out for us. And although David would have been talking about physical enemies here, most likely, in the New Testament, we know that our enemy is Satan, the devil. And I believe that the Lord is fighting the battle for us. Yes, we are called to resist the enemy, but ultimately the Lord is the one fighting him. And he has been defeated through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In verses 7 and 8 then, David establishes God as judge and how he will judge. Says that he has prepared his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. So it's just, to me, it's David is recognizing, sometimes I feel overcome by my enemy. But I know that God is fighting for me, and I know that in the end, God is a just judge. He's a righteous judge. And so if I can just keep my focus on the other side instead of right where I'm at, the big picture, as we often call it, recognizing that their conquering may endure for now, but in the end, God is going to reign supreme. In verse 9, the Lord is our refuge. When mankind has failed us, the Lord is there for us to lean on. I think David was just acknowledging, you know, there's times when I put my trust in man and they let me down. But when I always put my trust in God, he never lets me down. He never fails me. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Another translation would actually use the word stronghold instead of refuge. The idea of something solid, something that you can anchor your life on, something that you can run to and you know you're safe there. In verse 10 then, as we seek the Lord, he comes to us as an abiding presence. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And I didn't actually do a word study, but I think this know is more than just a head knowledge. I think it's an experiential. Those who know the Lord, those who have experienced the Lord, I thought of the words, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I think that's the knowing that David is talking about. It's not just, well, I know that the Lord is my, that I can put my trust in him, but I have actually put my life on the line and he's been there for me. I can trust him. Knowing his name is more than an acknowledgement. It speaks of having experienced it. In verses 11 and 12 then, the Lord deserves praise because he does look out for and plead the cause of the afflicted. So one of the many ways that we see the Lord reaching out to those who are oppressed, afflicted, those who need him, and just another reason for us to praise him. In verses 13 and 14 then, we see a plea for God to look down on David and what he is going through. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble. And it's because of those who hate him. Why? Does he want the Lord to have mercy on him, that I may show forth all the praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion? I will rejoice in your salvation. So he is, it feels like he's reaching forward, even though right now he's struggling. He's reaching forward and saying, I am looking forward to your salvation. And that's where you and I are at times. Sometimes what we are going through right now can feel like God isn't there. And so we need to be like David, and where we reach into the future, so to speak, and we say, Lord, I know that you are here. I know that you will be there for me, even if I don't sense it right at this moment. In verses 15 to 17, then, David reminds us of the heathen's end. Here again, I think just brought comfort to David to recognize that, you know, what I'm going through may be tough, but I look at what the heathen, the wicked, those who don't know you, what their end is. And when I see that, I recognize that life may seem unfair to me here, but in the end, it will be fair. You are a just judge. Reminds me of the third verse of the first song we sang. Enter, incarnate God. No feet but thine have trod the serpent down. Blow, the full trumpets blow, wider yon portals throw. Savior, triumphant go and take thy crown. The victorious Christ is the one who we look to and recognize that the heathen, the wicked, have their end, and we have a victorious end if we remain in Christ. In verse 18, then, the needy and poor are remembered by the Lord. The needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Most likely speaking of more physical in David's, I would like to spiritualize it. I believe that as we are needy, as we are poor in spirit, the Lord is looking out for us. Not that he doesn't look out for those physically poor and needy, but also is reaching out to us as we recognize our need of him. Then in verses 19 and 20, David is saying, God, I hope you show yourself to the nations from time to time to remind them of their finiteness. And I think of it as I look at the nations around, and sometimes when there's very powerful leaders, I say, Lord, surely you will show yourself to them, to help them see that they are finite. And I recognize sometimes maybe it doesn't happen in this life. Maybe sometimes it's at the end when they realize that who they were up against, it was God. Sometimes when it seems that evil is winning, that things are not turning out well, it is time to stop and evaluate what really lasts. The Psalms give us an idea of what this looks like. And some truths that I take from this passage are these. God deserves praise because he is above all. Someday, the score will be settled. If it looks uneven now, it's okay, because someday God, who is a righteous judge, will award those who have followed him faithfully and will punish those who have gone against him. Another truth, God is worthy of our praise because he is looking out for the righteous. He's on our side, and so he's worthy of our praise. And finally, man is limited what they can do, but God is not. Let's worship him for who he is, and let's do that as we kneel in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning grateful for who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for this psalm that David wrote that encourages us and that reminds us of truths that you are above all, that you are greater than the nations, you are greater than man. And so, Lord, we desire and we attempt here this morning to worship you for who you are, to bow our hearts before you and to recognize that we are not God and we greatly need you. And so I pray that you would come down today and on our behalf and strengthen us, Lord, for the week ahead, for the things we will face. And Lord, we recognize that it is only as we acknowledge and worship you that our hearts are aligned then with your will. We pray this through Christ. Amen.